most well-known passages, but I want to look at it as the Holy Spirit leads me to point some things out. Now in the month, the sixth month, was sent the angel Gabriel. Gabriel was an angel and probably larger than we are, probably maybe as tall as the ceiling. Nobody knows exactly, some people have said. But at any rate, he was probably not a friendly-looking guy because they're powerful. And Gabriel was one of the archangels. So he was always in the presence of God. He was always someone that heard what God said and then carried it out. And he came to Zechariah 6 months earlier than this. That's why it's the sixth month. So the sixth month is not the calendar month, but it's the pregnancy month for Elizabeth, who was impregnated and was going to have a child. And her son's name would be John. They would call him John, even though no one in that family had ever been called John. Now, what you need to know is that Elizabeth was of the daughters of Aaron, which is a priestly family, and Zechariah was a priest. So they're part of the priestly family, and yet they're related to Joseph and Mary. In fact, Elizabeth is one of Mary's kinsmen. So if you think about that, Elizabeth quite a bit older. She's beyond childbearing. She's tried to have children, and she's pretty sad because they never did. And yet she hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, they had lived blameless under the law. They had kept all the laws and done everything right. And yet here, God didn't seem to listen to her, even though she was a believer and was blameless, hadn't done anything wrong. Yet God didn't listen to her. And so Zechariah, when he was in the temple, all of a sudden on the right side of the altar of incense, an angel appeared, Gabriel. And Gabriel could walk through walls and all that, whatever angels do, so it was not a problem. But he was shocked, he was surprised, and he told him about his son. Your wife's going to have a son now. And that shouldn't have surprised him, but it did. Even though you can be acquainted with the Scripture, you can forget how great they are. And he should have known, well, Sarah had a baby at 90 years old, 89 she was impregnated, and so his wife wasn't that old, but she's probably 50s or 60s at least, but still. But it didn't even faze him. They kept asking God, but nothing would happen. All of a sudden, the angel comes and says, your prayer's granted. So it pays to pray. If you pray, just keep praying, don't quit, keep coming. But when it came, Gabriel doubted. How many know that sometimes when you pray, or what did I say? Whatever the guy is. Zechariah. Did I say Gabriel? That's Peg, my wife. She's pointing out that I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. That's what she's pointing out. So when Zechariah heard it, he did not have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Even though it was a word from God, from the angel himself, he doubted it. And he asked the question, well, how can that be? I don't see how that can happen. My wife is old. She's past childbearing. She can't have children anymore. And the issue there is not when women can have children. The issue is, who is it that's talking to you? And he said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. With God, nothing's impossible. And so if God tells you something, it can happen. I'll illustrate it a little bit later, why impossible things not only can happen, but do happen. So he was struck dumb, and he couldn't speak then for the next several months. And then he went back home to heaven, and blew his horn or whatever angels do, and he's practicing up. And all of a sudden, in the sixth month, our story begins, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's birth, and she doesn't even want to come out in public, even though she's excited, because what if something goes wrong? And so, even though they're believers, they still have doubts. How many know that as a believer, you still have doubts? You have spiritual belief, but you have psychological doubts. You know, whenever something is told you from God, you always doubt it. I don't care what it is, you'll always doubt it, psychologically. But she thought, well, you know, I'm going to have this baby. He said his name would be John, and so she just carried on. But what she didn't know is God was arranging things for this priestly family to be joined to a kingly family. Now, the king family was Judah. Judah is a different member of Jacob's children, Israel's children. And Judah is the king side, and then over here is the Levitical side or the priest side. So the priestly family, which is Zechariah, who's now struck dumb, his wife is now in her sixth month, and all of a sudden he goes to a kingly family. Now they're kinspeople because the Levites could live among the Judah people. In other words, Levites could live among all 11 tribes, but other tribe members needed to stay within their tribes for the most part, and they didn't go elsewhere. Be like a Texan living in New York or something. You know, it doesn't make sense. So Elizabeth is just in her house, you know, watching the time, hoping the baby will come, and then she'll be vindicated. The neighbors are already buzzing and talking about this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, to which is the name Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, in the Hebrew language, just means branch or a stick that would grow out of something else. And that's very appropriate because at this time, the Bethlehem, where's Bethlehem? Was that? That was over here. Comfort Inn. Bethlehem at this time was a rundown city. It was, in fact, it wasn't even a city anymore. It was just a small town. And it used to be the royal city. King David was from that city. In fact, Joseph was actually born there. Joseph was from that particular city. But he moved up to Nazareth, kind of big town, and got away from Bethlehem because it was so small. But at any rate, the angel then came to Mary in Nazareth and said to her, "Hail," and that's kind of a greeting. Now remember, this is a big angel, and he goes into the house. He actually enters in. You can kind of picture him hunkering down and getting there. "Hail!" You know, and she's no doubt frightened. She's scared because, first of all, angels are bigger than normal people normally. And so unless he was a little angel, but being Gabriel, I think he was a big size, very intimidating type angel. And he's got a happy note. Now you need to know that Mary's name actually means bitter. Bitter. Have you ever been bitter? You know, maybe you're bitter because you believe something good was going to happen and it didn't. It can make you bitter. Or maybe you prayed and God didn't answer the prayer. And so you can be disappointed and bitter because you loved somebody and they didn't love you back. You trusted somebody and they turned out not to be trustworthy. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Don't raise your hand, but it can happen. And so Mary was bitter. I'll tell you, there are four reasons why she was bitter, at least. Number one, the Jewish people were not, they were in their own land, but the Romans had conquered them, and so they had to pay heavy taxes. And that's one reason to be bitter. How many know that when that time of the year comes around, we're not that happy about it? It's a nice time of year. I think they do it deliberately when it's a nice time of year, so you'd be a little cheerful about letting your money go. But I don't know anybody that's cheerful about that. And so government not only takes what they need to operate, they usually take what they want as well. and we're the ones that pay. And so taxes have never been a welcome thing for most people. We don't like being taxed. We don't like being burdened. We don't like being, you have to pay me, you owe me, even though it's our own government. Well, in this case, it was a foreign government. It's one thing if it's your own town. It's another thing if it's a foreign entity. Whether you know it or not, your IRS money does not go to the treasury. It goes overseas. It does not come here. If you wanted to prove that, all you got to do is write a check to the Treasury Department, United States Treasury, and they won't accept it. So it goes to the creditor. That is, that money's all borrowed. I won't go into the game or the trick, but some private individual somewhere else collect all of that money. And when America wants money, all we do is go to the printing press and just print it up. It's about 3 cents to make a $1,000 bill or a $1 bill. It's about the same thing, same amount of ink. You just add some more zeros and so on. So it's not an expensive deal. You just go back there and crank it up, and the government always is able to have plenty of money, even though they're debasing the currency. They're debasing that's called inflation and so on, because they produce too little or too much. They never produce enough so you could pay the debt, by the way. You'll never have enough money in circulation to actually pay both the principal and the interest, which keeps you always in bondage. That's why our government is always in debt. It's deliberately done to keep you from ever being able to pay your debts, and that's why a lot of people are in debt. So it's deliberate. It's a policy. At any rate, that's one reason she was bitter, was because the Jewish people were now underneath a pagan government, Rome. Number two, the king over Israel in those days was not a Jew at all, let alone from the house of David. He was actually an Idumean. His name was Herod. Caesar once said of Herod, he said, I'd rather be his dog than his mother or one of his children, because he had many wives and he had many children, and he would just kill them whenever he felt like it if he didn't feel that they were serving his interests. So even Caesar, who was a warrior, felt that Herod overdid it. But nevertheless, Herod was able to do pretty much as he wished. So Herod was now the king of the Jews, and that was an insult, because it's just like the war that's going on today. There's enmity between those cousins, between those relatives. So Idumea, Herod's background, has always been an enemy to Israel. And to this day, they're still fighting them. It still hasn't gone away. It's still going on even to this day. So that's number two reason, is that the king of Israel in those days was Herod rather than someone Jewish. Number three, the priesthood. The priesthood was not Zadok. It was not from the daughters of Aaron. You remember that Elizabeth, her kinswoman, was from the daughters of Aaron. That means she's from a priestly family and goes all the way back to Aaron and Moses in the Levitical line. Well, her husband, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he also was a priest. So now you have the priestly, but yet it wasn't the right family. So God not only was not taking care of his people, they were underneath the Jewish overlords. Not only was there not the right king, wasn't even a Davidic king from the house of David. Not only was there not the right priest, but even worse, the little town of Bethlehem, which used to be the royal city, has now become a dump. And it's just a small little thing. Looks nice on Christmas cards. But the truth is, it had gone down to nothing. It was a stump. Now, remember, I told you that the branch is Nazareth. Nazareth means branch. It's almost as if, and it's very, they're not too far away, but the Nazareth is up north, and Bethlehem is down south. And so this little branch was growing out of this stump. And so Joseph was in the wrong place. He had to go back to pay his taxes. So he went back to the stump. And there was no room. You remember, there was no room in the inn. So sometimes in life, you'll find that people aren't friendly. They won't let you in. They just, they're busy. They got things to do. And so there's always the pain of, gee, you'll be with relatives. Yeah, fun, neat. And a lot of times, being with relatives is the worst place you can go. It's not at all friendly. It's nice when it is friendly, but sometimes it's kind of tense. And so all of these things made life bitter for the Jewish people, just as it is today. The Jewish people today are not a happy lot because there's so much going on. For example, America really directs much of Israel's policies. She's not able to make her own decisions. If we tell her to go to war, she goes to war. If we tell her not to, she can't. So she's kind of like, she would love to go over to Syria and just, bomb them, but she can't do it. She has to do what we tell her. And so the superpower, again, is always rules. And it has been that way ever since they went into exile thousands of years ago, a long time ago. So the Jewish people are still in bitterness. And that's why I love this story. This is a great story about a woman whose name was Mary or Miriam, which means bitter. And so life has been bitter, I hope, to some of you. I hope some of you have had a bitter life, because otherwise you won't understand this message. Has anybody here had? No, don't raise your hand. But if you've had a bitter life, it's good, because when you have a bitter life, you have to figure out, well, what am I going to do then? I can be bitter my whole day, or I could be happy, but how can I be happy when I'm bitter? And this angel comes into the house. Remember I told you how he had to crunch down? Hail, favored one. God is with you. And so that's what favor is. When God is with you, he's never with you to accuse you. He's never with you to hurt you. He's never with you to attack you. He's never with you to judge you. Did you know that? Never. Never. It's impossible for God to do any of those. The only thing that God can do when he's with you, the only thing he can do, is defend you. That's very powerful. Very powerful. So he says to her these very happy words to a very miserable person. Hey, hail, God's with you. You got favor with God. Yahoo! But she wasn't that excited about that. As a matter of fact, she began to think about what that angel was saying. As I don't, and she didn't say anything. She was just kind of like puzzling over it. What kind of greeting is this? Hail, favored one? Look at Bethlehem. Look at the priest. Look at the king. Look at Rome over us. What's so good about life? Well, for one thing, she's getting married. In fact, she's already married. In the Jewish tradition, you did not get like a little engagement time and then get married. In the Jewish tradition, you had to spend at least 12 months as an alma. That meant you got married, but you could not be together with man and wife. You could not physically come together and have children. You had to wait a whole year. And during that year, you got to know each other, and it was a long honeymoon type of thing. But you could not come together physically. And if you did, then the husband had the right to put you out. And so during that whole time, she could have been put out had she done anything wrong. Well, so here's an angel coming and telling her, you're going to have a son. Well, that's not good. I mean, that could be troublous, because that meant she'd be killed. If Joseph would divorce her, the local court then also could condemn her to death, and they would have to stone her because she was unclean. And she had violated the covenant with Joseph. So Mary was thinking about that is, wow, I'm going to have a son? Not good. Not good. And so she didn't say anything. She was just thinking about that. She was tossing it in her head is, what now, what is this favor thing? Favor with God. How many have discovered that when God favors you, sometimes you get in trouble? Yeah, I mean, he's favoring you, and it's just like, uh-oh, there's always a hook. There's always, something is, someone will get up in church and say, I'm going to turn my life over to Jesus from now on. You know it's going to be hell right after that. You know it, but you don't say anything because you're happy for him. Yes, hallelujah. But, or if somebody says, I finally found my church. You know they won't be back. So it's just, I don't know why. It's just humorous. It's humorous. Now, I've noticed that over the years. And so it makes you a little bit jaundiced, because I don't know why people are fickle. Has anybody noticed that? Well, one of the problems is God. Because God will make these neat promises about everything's going to be great. You're going to have the son. He's going to be the son of God, and son of David, his father, son of man, son of God. It's all You know, like you don't even understand what he's talking about. There's no way that Mary could have understood. Let's see, now how is he son of God and son of man? Well, from David, he'll be son of man, and he's actually going to inherit his throne, so he'll be a king. Well, that's good news. But he'll also be God's son, and that means you and Joseph cannot have this baby, even though you're both of the house of Judah. This is going to have to be God himself. Go over that again. How's that going to be? And so he says, well, that's easy. The Holy Ghost will do it. Okay. How's he do it? Well, the way he does that is God, the Most High God, will come down and put a shadow on you. Now, that probably isn't literal, that God actually is a person with a shadow. How many know that he's a light? But nevertheless, it meant something, where she'd somehow be there and all of a sudden she'd be pregnant, and there was no cause for it. There was no natural cause for it. So while it's good news, it's also bad news, because the minute she has the baby and Joseph finds out, he's going to have to divorce her, then she'll be stoned, and so on. Fortunately, Joseph was a good man, and he decided, I'm going to put her away kind of privately. I won't say anything to anyone, though people will discover and find out. But maybe they can hide her or something and somehow get rid of this child, because otherwise she'll have to be stoned. So this is not good news. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Now, don't think of Mary right now. I'm telling a story about Mary, but it's really about you. Sometimes when God gives you a blessing like that, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. As a matter of fact, every time. Every time God gives a blessing, he didn't tell you about the fine print. He just said, you know, great, good news. You're going to have a son. He's going to be Jesus. You know, he's going to be a savior and a king. And, you know, it's just really exciting. But she was puzzled because she was thinking about it. You know, what happened? What was going to happen to me? Is the same God that made this, you know, statement about something wonderful is going to happen, is that same God going to be with me in the furnace when the trouble comes? Because how many know there's a devil? I mean, right away, Herod, as soon as he heard about that baby going to be born, he was right there to kill that baby. He was right there. And he killed lots of other babies also. This is not good news. So I don't know why God didn't happen to mention that part. He just told her the good news and then didn't mention too much about the bad news. Are you all following me? So when you become a Christian, you think to yourself, well, everything will be going, you know, I've lived my own selfish, nasty life. I'll turn to Jesus. I'll bet everything will turn out good. Maybe not. Because always with God, there's a testing that comes along with every good thing that he gives you. There's a little fire, a little suffering, a little agitation. A lot of Christians don't like that part. That's why they go to the churches they go to, because they don't mention that, or they kind of keep things very superficial and you just don't bring up negative things. Are you hearing me? All right? So that way people are kept in the darkness. They're not really aware that when God does something and gives you good news, there's always some bad news that's going to come along with it. Always. To test you and to see whether you really believe the good news. Why? Because it was said of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, when you become a Christian, when you give your heart, now if you're just a church member, it's no big deal. But if you actually love him and begin to believe on him and so on, you're just going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. So a lot of Christians kind of pull back. You know, it's like, I ain't going that way. I'm gonna take this thing real slow and easy. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? But if you just plunge ahead, start reading your Bible, praising the Lord, telling people about Jesus, hey, do you know about Jesus? Pretty soon you'll find out they're not that happy about hearing it. Especially if it's your own family. You know, even at Christmas time when you want to, you know, let's all have a prayer. Or I used to, you know, in our family when the kids would be there, let's read all of Matthew. Let's read the Christmas story. Let's read, you know, Thanksgiving, we'll read Plymouth Plantation or whatever, you know. And my kids weren't that excited about that. That was not a neat thing. It's, Dad, can we eat? No, we want to get into the whole mood of this thing and learn all about, you know, and so on. So I was always bogging things down with my own view of how it should be. You know, if Carl would have a slumber party, I might wake them all up a little early. Let's say maybe 5:30 or 6, and of course they've been up to about 3, 2 or 3. All right, everybody! And then they're all, you know, startled. Thank God you're all here. It's been laid upon me by the Holy Spirit to speak a little bit, and they're just barely waking up, you know, and their eyes are like, what is this? What's your dad doing? You know, she can't say anything because I'm her dad, you know. And I'll stand up on the you know, the fireplace or something like that and just let them know, thank God you're all here. God, this is a blessing. And then I'll just preach the gospel to them and try to get a few of them saved and so on. And that's not what she had in mind when she had that slumber party. So, you see, sometimes you get problems. And you better have a good sense of humor. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. How many know in the world you have trouble? In the world you have trouble. And the minute you start to follow God, not only do you have normal troubles, you're going to have unusual additional troubles from the enemy. He doesn't want to lose you. He doesn't want to let you go. So he's going to fight to keep you. Anyway, Mary was listening to all this, and she wasn't really sure how exciting it would be to have God's son and to have a king as a son. I mean, after all, they had no money. They had no nothing. I mean, Bethlehem was just a shambles, and there was no hope that this baby would even be born. Anyway, they get to the inn, and you remember what happened there? There was no room at the inn. How much hot water do you think she got when she had that baby? You know, how many nurses attended her? There was nothing but some animals and Joseph. You know, I mean, of course, maybe there were some, and they just didn't mention it, but you get the idea that God wasn't really paying close attention to his own son being born. It's almost like, man, I don't know, I wouldn't have had tax. I would not have had the tax season right then. If my son was born, I'd have him just a little bit before, a little bit after. Maybe get a tax exemption or something, so have it before. But you see, God doesn't always plan things out. How many know that sometimes God has poor planning? And it's just because he's busy upstairs. And we're down here where it's tough, and we're working stuff out down here. But God, it's easy for God to come down and say, Hail! Ah, blessed are you. The Lord's with you. You got favor. That's so easy to say when you live in heaven. But what if you live down here? What if you live down on the earth and you got real problems? I soon, in the Dallas church this morning, a brother came up and said, you know, my whole business could be wiped out. Someone's suing me, and it looks like I could lose everything. I mean, that's sad. No matter what I preached about, you know, good news and all that, he was totally not listening to any of that. You know, and he could hardly wait to come out, you know, afterward and tell me, hey, that was great preaching, but let me just tell you right now, you know, I've saved up for years, 25 years, I've been working at this thing, and now I'm going to be wiped out overnight, it looks like. And what do you think? Ah, it's exciting, I said. It sounds exciting. It sounds like a time to draw close to God. How many know that was? It'd be fun to talk to me when you're having problems. Well, glory, hallelujah. You know, the scripture saith, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. So this angel is giving this good cheer, and Mary's having struggle with it, is, I don't know. I don't know if this is good news or not. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. But look at all the little problems along the way. Look at your own life. Everything hasn't turned out exactly what you thought, you know? Wasn't exactly what your parents thought when you were born, and wasn't exactly what you thought as you were growing up. You thought, you know, when I get big, I'll have a stereo. You know, when I get big, I'll eat what I want to eat. When I get big, I can stay up all night if I want to. And that is just, it's such freedom to grow up and be big. You know, being a little kid is always, you always have to do what your parents tell you. But finally, when you get big, you can do what you want. How many had that kind of thought when you were 16, 17, even 14, 15? Boy, I can hardly wait to get out of this place. You know, I want to be out on my own. You know, I'm going to get a car. I'm going to get a job. I'll have my own apartment.
You know, it's not as though you can drive on any side of the street. There are laws out there more than mom and dad. You have to drive on the right side of the street. They don't let you drive on the left for too long. When you go into a store, you actually have to go to the cash register and pay. I mean, I thought when you got bigger, you'd just be free. You just go and take stuff and just do what you want. But there are consequences to everything. Has anybody ever learned that? Life stinks sometimes. Hello? I just thought I'd add that part. That was something the angel omitted. And I just want you to know, when that came to her, she said, well, how can this be since, you know, I'm married, but I've not been with a man. I'm an alma. And the 12 months isn't up. So when is this pregnancy thing going to start? Well, we thought we'd start it right now. It's like, it's not good. Not good. Could we wait a while? Because then it might be good news after the 12 months, but it certainly won't be, because in the Jewish understanding, the alma had to wait for that 12-month period of waiting and watching to see whether the bride would stay pure. How many know that Jesus is coming back someday? And we're kind of in one of those things where he's saying if we'll be pure when he comes back. A bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How many know that we are? I mean, there's no question about that. Because we're all believers, right? And we don't have any spots or any wrinkles or everything. We've done pretty much everything God's wanted. Well, pretty much. But not exactly. But it says, without any spot or any wrinkle or any such thing. Isn't that amazing? Some of us have really neglected that part. Might be good to skip that verse, not notice that verse. Why? Because that's really not, we're not into that. I'm into forgive me. Lord, you're just going to have to forgive me. And forget the part about me being spotless and, you know, wrinkle-free. You know what I'm saying? How many are with my theology on that instead of God's? But God actually literally means it. I want to have a bride. I'm coming back for a bride. I don't want her to have any spots, any wrinkles, or any such thing. Well, I can see the wisdom of God there in calling me to be the pastor here. Because I'm totally into that. I'm totally into that. That y'all ought to be pure. I'm into that. I really am. I feel like that's something you should do. No wrinkles, no spots, no nothing. You know, stay that way. I wish I could lead you. I wish I could lead you. Because I'm a little bit spotted and wrinkled. Is there anyone else in this church that's where I am? Uh-oh. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because it's my job to make sure you're spotless. Amen? And wrinkle-free. Now, wrinkles are easy to get out. You just take a hot iron and press down real hard. See, just a little pressure, a little stress, you know, a little heat. That gets rid of the wrinkles. And spots, that's easy. A little acid, just eat up all that stuff. Not a problem. Of course, it's a little bit hard on the fabric, so, you know, but you see, there actually is a way for you to go through the furnace, go through the fire, go through the affliction, go through the trouble, go through the suffering, and laugh. Do you know how it is? Same way Mary did it. You know, what did she do? She said, listen, after she had all those questions and the angel explained it all, well, the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and God's going to overshadow you and all this kind of stuff. She didn't have a clue, I'm sure. Overshadow? You know, I mean, if she'd have thought about that, she'd have gone, how's exactly that work? But she didn't have a clue because she just believed. She said, let it be according to me as you have said. In other words, when you believe in something, you don't even know what you're getting into. Did you know that? You're buying a pig and a poke. You don't even know what's in that bag. Oink. You know, you don't know what's in there. There might be two pigs or a dead pig. You don't know. So you got to kind of kick it a little bit to see what's in there. So I'm going to be a Christian. But he needed to mention that when you go into this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. How many can be of good cheer no matter what happens to you? I don't care what happens. You have learned that everything is working for your good. Now, you got to take your eyes off your circumstances because your circumstances aren't going to agree. And when you take your eyes off the circumstances, just when you're about to come into a victory, some new wrinkle comes up. You ever notice that? I mean, all right, let's say you spend 3 days in prayer. God, this is really important to me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to go without food. And I want you to come through, you know, like you said in your word. And then you fast and nothing happens. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Where you just were, thank you. You just were disappointed that God, you kept your part of the bargain. You fasted. Of course, we won't mention the fact that while you were fasting, all you were thinking about was eating. But we won't mention that part. But still, you tried your best to be holy during that time. And you know, after all, it did hurt, you know, to go without food. And all you're thinking about is, I think I'll make a cookbook after this. And, you know, and I actually have done this. This is actually the God's truth. I've actually thought of what would be an ideal meal, you know. And I even asked Peggy after I was done, because I had the thought, but Peggy was going to carry it out. Peg, from now on, I would like to have at least 2 weeks of kind of like a diet, and it'll just kind of like about the same thing every 2 weeks. You just kind of circle it in like that. And, you know, the right juices and so on and so forth. Can you kind of work that out? Something nutritious, something good like that. So that's the kind of thing you do when you're praying and getting close to God. You're thinking of other things. Is there anyone else like me? I mean, it's amazing to me that this good news is really good news. Because if it is, I can't pull it off. I'm not able. You know, the thing that was neat about Mary is she just believed it. She didn't think. If you're a thinker, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Because you'll be worried the whole time. You'll be wondering, God, how come I fasted and then you didn't do this? How come this? What about that? Well, what if this happens? You know, and it's like God won't answer any of those questions. Has anybody discovered that with God? He's just not a negotiator. God, could we negotiate this? I know what your word says, but how about in my case? He just won't do it. Is anybody, can I hear an amen? Amen? That's the way God is. He just sets it up and he's got it rigged okay for heaven, but we don't live in heaven. We live down here on the earth. And Mary was a real person. She wasn't this thing that the Catholic Church has made her out to be, some glorious thing with a mother who was a virgin and, you know, presumably her mother was one and so on. That's silly. No, she was just a regular sinner person like the rest of us. Hello! You know what's amazing to me? Is that Mary believed God. That God could create the world, that may be a miracle, but it's nothing compared to the fact that Mary could believe those words without checking it out, just because some angel shows up in your door. I don't even know what an angel looks like. Like, do you have any credentials? Do you have an angel button or something that I could know you really are an angel? How would you know an angel was an angel? I wouldn't. If an angel came this morning, I wouldn't even know it. Did you know that some of you are actually angels in disguise? Did you know that? Okay, listen. The word angel, Glenn, did you raise your hand? That's quite a disguise you've got. That's quite a disguise. The word angel actually just means messenger. Anybody who is a messenger from God to some other brother or sister who's in trouble and difficulty, and you go and cheer them up, that's an angel. In other words, that's an angelic work. And even though you may not literally be an angel, the Bible often calls someone that does that angelic because you brought good news to somebody. But what if you bring good news to them and then they get in trouble afterward? Then what? You better have some wings to fly away quick or something. You better have some way of encouraging them is, don't worry about it. All things are working together for the good. Everything is working together for your good. That is so hard to believe when you're going through it. When you're going through a divorce, when you're going through a drug addiction, when you're going through a health problem, when you're going through a relational problem, when you're going through financial troubles, when you're going through it, your car breaks down, when you're going through that stuff, it's hard to believe that that good news the angel said in the first place was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? You could not want to endure. You could want to, I give up. I just quit. I don't even want to hope anymore. I just let it happen what happens. Because there isn't any God. Or if there is, he doesn't like me. Or if he does, he's not strong enough to help me right now and he can't hear me. God. I mean, you know that sometimes it looks like God is not listening. God, didn't I tell you to come right early? You wrote that down in the book and I did it. And you're not. Here. And I get mad at God sometimes. Does anybody else get mad at God? I just tell him, hey, God, I did. I know I'm not perfect or anything like that. So let's not have that discussion. But I did read this Bible pretty extensively, and I haven't been sinning for 3 whole days, I think, because I've been, you know, too worried and busy. I mean, if you stay busy, you don't even have time for sin. Does anybody notice that? I mean, when I get in trouble, somehow I cease to sin. Not because I don't want to, not because I wouldn't and couldn't, it's just that I'm too busy. And so I hardly get to sin anymore. I used to, you know, if I had some more leisure time. Is anybody else like me? You know, somehow it seems like when I have a lot of leisure time, I really can sin. Is there anyone like that? And so you stay kind of busy, you know, keep moving like that, and then, you know, you'll find that things go better. No, the truth is that when you serve the Lord, what he's doing is purifying you through the fire. He's purifying you through the fire. You have to go through this fire, through this little doorway here with the fire in it, because that's how he makes you like him and draws you close to himself. Because I have good news. I will make it. How many know that when God says something to you, it's good news, you're going to make it? When he says to Mary, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. He's going to be the king. He's going to be a savior. He's going to be the Holy One. He's going to be everything I said, and it's going to happen just like I said it. Now, Mary's first response was to believe exactly what the angel said. Her second response was to think about that and think about, okay, if I'm going to go through the furnace, if there's going to be troubles, if there's going to be problems, I better have such a vivid understanding of the goodness of God that I could endure through anything comes my way. Because it isn't just the devil doing stuff, even God will allow it. Even God sometimes will allow it. He maybe didn't put it on me, but he let the devil do it. Amen? I mean, sometimes when I'm obeying the Lord and I'm doing what he said, and then it seems like the devil attacks, it's kind of like, hey God, get him off. And then God doesn't do anything. God! You know, and I'm trying to explain to God, I was serving you. I was doing a good thing. And then all of a sudden here comes an attack for no reason whatsoever. I mean, I was being decent for once. Has anybody ever had that thought? And so it makes you want to pull back a little bit. Makes you want to pull back. Is, you know, God, kind of the way you're treating me, that's the way I'm going to treat you. I'm going to just pull back a little bit. You know, I was passionate, and I got hurt the other day. I was so passionate, I was really going to go for God. And then all of a sudden, things all went to flooey. Well, I'll pull back a little bit. I'm not going to hope anymore. And I'll just give it a little bit of hope, but kind of like way off in the future. I won't expect anything coming right away. How many have discovered that God doesn't come through quickly like I want him to? God, I mean, I'm needing you right now. You know, when you want me to obey, don't I? Well, okay, forget that one. All right, we won't discuss that one. But you see, God actually loves you. I don't believe God could ever do anything that would harm you. I believe all his thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. He's never disturbed at you. He's never angry that you've just said something or done something or thought something. He is never, ever angry. He did that with Jesus one time, forever. That is now gone. God has no more wrath left for you. Do you all understand that? Do you all understand that? Because if you don't get a hold of this, if you don't see this, then life's just going to beat you up. Because you're going to go from up to down, up to down, up to down, up to down. You'll be, you know, one of those lithium takers. Because you're not going to be able to be stable. Because one minute you'll be hoping, and the next minute you'll be disappointed and hurt, and the next minute you'll try again, and then you'll get hurt again. And pretty soon you just give up, and you'll become a zombie. Hello? Now, I know none of you are like that. But I'm just simply saying the world is loaded with people that once trusted and got hurt. They were naive. They were believing. And then suddenly it didn't work out the way they thought. Well, I want to tell you something. God, this is the truth, God will never give you anything but beautiful presents. It's impossible for God, it's impossible for God to give you anything dark or ugly or nasty. The only thing he can ever do when he comes to be with you. So now I'm speaking to you as though I were an angel. I am not an angel with wings, but a regular looking angel kind of like, you know, God sent me to tell you, did you know that you had a destiny? You know, that would change Mary's whole life. That bitter woman would become happy, not because she didn't have troubles in her life, not because suddenly everything would be changed, but because Jesus had come into the world. And there was finally hope that not only would he save us, but he would also lord us. And someday he's coming back. He's coming back a second time. And when he does, he will take the whole world. Today, he's only taking us. How many know that Jesus is not the Lord of this city or the Lord of America or whatever else? Jesus is not yet king. He's king in my heart. That's what happened to Mary. He basically said, a child will be born in you who will be the Son of the living God, being your physically in your body. With us, he's not in there physically. He's in there spiritually. But Mary also had to put Jesus in her heart spiritually. You know how that comes? Through hearing, through believing. And through believing that even though you go through difficulties and troubles and trials and problems, everything is working out for your good. Everything is rigged. It's been rigged. Now, you can't just hear me. You actually have to be like Mary and believe that. And see, you know what? I believe that. I believe God is good, and I believe that everything's going my way. But if you don't say it, if you don't say it out loud and kind of surprise yourself, you know, you got to kind of talk to yourself and then listen to it and then say, you know, everything's going my way. Let's say that. Everything's going my way. Now, the minute you say that, there's going to be an attack. You know, there will be. But I just taught you, don't worry about that, because every attack, every weapon fashioned against you will not prevail. Like that guy who spoke to me this morning. He was worried. He was scared. He'd spent 25 years, you know, making, you know, $100 million business. And then he can lose it just like that. And it's already happening right now. He can just lose everything he's got. Isn't that amazing? So there, your whole life you've built up and, you know, you've amounted to something. You're one of the major players in the city and so on and so forth. And then it's all taken away just like that because somebody's jealous or somebody hates you or whatever. Whatever the reasons are, it doesn't matter. God knows about that. So how can a person like that hope ever again? What if he does fall apart? What then? Have you ever worried about that? Oh my God. What if everything goes south? What if all hell breaks loose? What if God is good, but he's good later? You know, I mean, he's good, but he was golfing or something. I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't paying attention to be good for me today, right now. And when I need him, I don't want him to wait. I want him to come through immediately. Is anyone impatient like I am? You know, it's God, could you hurry up? Get this thing done right now. I'm not impatient, but I need it done now. So, and God won't do it. He never, ever, 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 ever comes through on my understanding of good timing. He always comes through on his own. I don't know what kind of watches they have up there. They're different, though. Because to me, early means right now when I look at it. You know, remember it says that in the Bible? Call upon me right early, and I will answer you. So I just want you to know, don't believe the teaching that says, if you follow God, everything will work out wonderfully. Believe this teaching. If you follow God, you'll be in a lot of trouble. But, you'll be in as much trouble depending on how high the vision is. In other words, how much good news did he tell you? To the extent that he told you good news, there's going to be a battle between the enemies of darkness and the enemies and the light. There's going to be a battle. And when that happens, trust God. Don't trust yourself because you're not going to make it. If you say, oh, I swear I'll make it. No, you won't. You're no stronger or smarter than anybody else. John, you thought that. Remember how neat it was the first few days when you came here? Remember you used to come up almost every service and say, boy, that was powerful. Remember that? You hardly ever say that now. No. That's because, you know what? It's still true. But you have to learn to take a lot of buffeting and learn to say, it doesn't matter. I still believe. Do you know what I'm saying? This is our testimony. This is our testimony. Is that, yea, though thou slay me, yet I will still trust God. Even though you slay me, I don't care. I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to be happy anyway. And it's hard. No, it's not hard. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With man, you can't do it. If anybody here said, I'll try that. No, you won't. It won't work. But if you go, God, I can't do it. Would you please do it for me? You just do it. You just do it. Got any, if you got any decisions to make? Yeah. When you have a decision to make, it's like, okay, God, I'm going to ask you now to speak up, say something. Just go ahead. I'll give you, what, an hour? How long does it take to, you know? And, all right, I'll give you 3 days. Kind of the three-day thing. Okay, I'll give you 3 days. But if you could speak to us in 3 days, and how many know that God doesn't make any deals like that? It might be years before he comes through. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Why does God take his time? Do you know why? Do you know why? It's because he loves you. Did you know that when God says no to you, it's not because the devil's winning. The devil never wins. It's because God is preparing something even better than what you had in mind. And we run off before it even happens, and then we say, see, it all went this way. No, 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 no. You quit before the miracle. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just hang in there. Something good is going to happen. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Now I want you to say these words. Father, from now on, I am going to be incredibly happy. I know that what you said to Mary about playing a major role is mine too. I'm not just an ordinary person. I'm a person that you have spoken to, and I believe that the best is yet to come. I will accomplish and do great things for you. No matter what. It doesn't matter. Because you know what? Every resistance that comes against you, the Father himself will put it down. You don't have to put it down. You don't have to stop it. You don't have to change it. If you'll relax, God will restore everything. Once he gives you that greeting, once that angel came into the door and said, Hail! Greetings! Favored one, the Lord is with you. Once he said that, it was over. Once he said that, it was over. And based upon that, no matter what you think after that, only good things are going to happen. I tell you, the whole world today, the whole world today is on a, you know, like a decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Everybody's deciding today. You know, it's like, you don't know, everything's up for grabs. Don't know if America's going to last. You don't know if law's going to continue. You don't know if the economy's going to fall apart. You don't know if it's going to be good or bad. Nobody knows anything. And there's all kinds of people saying all kinds of things, and you just can't be sure. How many know you live like you're walking on water all the time? It's like you're just walking from one water to another, and it's not solid looking. But God says, don't walk on water, walk on my word. Just trust me. Everything's going your way. Everything is going. I've got it rigged. I got it designed so that you always win. You are highly favored. God is with you. He's not just with Mary. That was a great miracle. That God became a man. That was a great miracle. But it's nothing compared to you believing the word of God and believing that no matter what the enemy throws at you or what God allows, you will come forth glorious. And he will accomplish all that he has said. Do I have anyone here today who says, you know what? I want that to be me. Just like Mary said, let it be to me according to whatever you have said about me. I want that to happen in my life. I may try to get in there and resist it, but don't let me. You go ahead and do what you have said. Let it be to me according to all that you have said. That is the great miracle of this Christmas season. And the greatest of all is that you, like Mary, will believe every word that God has spoken. The whole world depends upon you as Christians. We're not speaking to the world. We're just speaking to you, the believers. This kingdom that God is introducing to the world, where the King himself lives inside of each one of you, this is a great and glorious thing. Does anybody here have the ability to see the glory that's in this room? You can't see it with a natural eye. If you look down the row or you look in front or behind, you won't see how much glory is here. But the Holy Spirit sees the glory that's in this room. There is tremendous glory here. Amen? But you have to do that by the word. You have to do that because God has said that. But I'm going to be like Mary. I think Mary's a perfect picture of somebody who was young, inexperienced. She didn't know that much. She may not even known about all the prophecies and stuff. I don't know what she knew. We know she knew something, but we don't know how much she really knew. But I'll tell you what, the fact that she just said, that was a miracle. Let it be to me, according to what you have just said. How can you say that? How do you know? Think it out. Figure it. She didn't do it. And I've found out in my life, I used to think about a lot of things. I would say everything, but that's one of my sins is exaggerating. I think about everything. I was always a thinker. You know, what if this? Well, then I'll do this. Okay, well, then what about that? Okay, well, then I'll do it like that. You know, I'm always thinking. I can walk in a room. I hate her. Okay, I'll go over here. You know, I'm just thinking constantly. And when I became a Christian, I gave all that up. I don't have to think anymore. I'm thoughtless. I don't think. Now you say, well, you still have a mind. Yeah, but my mind, it doesn't matter because God's already decided everything. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, for example, let's say Peggy says something wrong to me. Could anyone imagine that? Well, I'm just telling you, she does. She will sometimes, you know, say something wrong. And here's the thing. I don't have to think about that. I say, God, what should I do? Hit her? You know, it kind of comes into my mind like that. No. Teacher, give her a teaching, a good teaching. No. I mean, she's got to be punished. Look what she just did. She broke your law. I'm the anointed one. Oh, you didn't all follow that one at all. You didn't follow that. No. Look, here's the whole thing. Is God's already decided that. Love her, forgive her, don't put any burden on her, bless her. That's it. There's nothing to think about then. What about a brother that deliberately sins against me? It's already decided. Forgive him. Bless him. How about avoid him? No. No. You can't avoid him. You have to ask God. God, what should I do? But one thing's for sure, rejoice. I don't care what's happened to you or what's about to happen to you. God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Is God for you? Is he just for Mary and not for you? Is what he did, because after all, what Mary did, that didn't save her. She just simply was used by God to do that particular thing. But the amazing thing is she believed. And to someone that believes, all things are possible. All things are possible. There are miracles out there that God wants to do in these last days to bring his holy bride to spotless perfection. I believe that'll happen. I'm not talking about you and your eyeballs seeing it. I'm just talking about God actually purifying us in a way that he'll be pleased. I don't have to figure it. All I know is you should be happy all the time. Amen? How many decided from this morning, I'm going to be happy from now on? All right. So you are the ones that the devil right now, he wrote down your names. I gave him a little time so he could write them down. And the devil now is going to design something to put you to the test to see whether you were a liar or told the truth. But you know what? Don't rely on yourself. Go like this. God, I can't keep promises. You can. You did. I believe you. Do it. And let God take care of it. That's how you make it through the furnace. That's how you make it through the fire. That's how Israel today is going to make it. I guarantee you Israel is going to go through more hell. Guaranteed. She's going to go through tremendous international pressure, ironing, acid, all kinds of bombs and troubles and difficulties and problems. She is not going to escape. But when she learns to rejoice that God is doing this in order to perfect her and not to destroy her, there are probably about 100, and we don't know exactly, let's say 140 to 150,000 Jewish believers in the land of Israel who are Jewish, and now they're Christian. And a whole bunch of them have not announced this publicly. It's secret. It's quiet. Some of the rabbis are actually Christian. Some of the cantors in Jerusalem, for example, are actually Christian. So they're doing all the singing, and they're teaching people to sing about the Messiah, and they're actually talking about Jesus, and they know it, but the people don't know it. They're just singing because they like the it's catchy tune or whatever. Now, there are many in Israel today who have reversed themselves and said, I actually believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. I don't have to become a Christian, but I need to be a follower of the Messiah, Jesus, because the Messiah is Jesus. And many of them are fervent. I mean, they're so passionate, you cannot believe them. Rami's one of them. I mean, these people will lay down their lives. I got to speak in one of the churches when I was over there. Joyce was there, and Peggy was there, and some of you others were there. Anyway, and that was powerful because those are all Christians who are Jewish. And I gave them basically this message, is don't think your troubles are over. Don't think because God loves you, he's not going to have any troubles for you. The father that loves his son chastens him. He spanks him. It's hard. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. God's only doing it because it's good for you and he's going to bring good out of it. And he's just saying, trust me. Just trust me. No. So he's just going to say, come on, just trust me. Would I ever do anything to harm you? No, probably not, but you're doing it. You know, and he doesn't care. That's all just psychological stuff. Don't worry about talking to God. You can talk to God any way you want to. But deep down in your heart, God is saying, this is the last generation. This is the generation that I'm going to return to. And I want you to be ready for my return. Because the world is in, right now, a huge decision-making process. Russia hasn't decided what its role is. China hasn't decided what its role is. India is trying to decide what her role is. Africa, you know, wherever you go in the world today, and America itself is divided right down the middle. Are we going to be a Christian nation? Are we going to be this kind or that kind? Are we going to include the Muslims, just the good ones? You know, and it's got all these problems. We can't solve anything. We're just getting more and more mixed up. And the churches aren't any help either. Well, this one is, but I mean the other ones. Joe, you know that. We're really getting good. But here's the deal. Put all your eyes on Jesus. The best has been saved to the last. He's kept it aside. Now comes the dessert. Don't worry about the troubles. Of course, in every life there's troubles, there's problems, there's difficulties. Benefit by them. They can't hurt you. They can hurt your flesh, they will never hurt your spirit. They can hurt your flesh, they cannot hurt your spirit. You want them to hurt your flesh. Why? So you stop being silly and naive. In this world, there's trouble. And there's going to be more trouble. And the only way you're going to win is if you trust God and go through that fire. Just go through and say, God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it because I trust you. I know you can only do good things. This is like you saying to your child, sweetheart, it's okay. Come.
I'm scared. I don't want to. He's under the bed.
You know, and little kids are scared of stuff, you know. They don't want to jump off the, you know, merry-go-round or whatever. They're scared of stuff.
Okay, look at him.
You know, just jump. Come on, he's right here. I'm right here. Come on, jump. And you just have to trust God. Amen? And if that's your father or that's your mother, you're going to trust them. And you're just going to jump. Maybe this has actually happened. Maybe you have a child on the second story and the house is burning down and there's no way to go down the stairs. What are you going to do? You're going to have to jump. Somebody's going to have to catch you. This happened in John Wesley's case, the founder of Methodism. And John was the one upstairs, so he knew. Jump, John. And, you know, he almost got burned up because he was afraid to jump from a second-story window into his father's, I believe it was his father's arms, but it doesn't matter. But God wants to rescue you. He never has anything negative about you. Everything is positive. Stop thinking so much. Stop figuring so much. Just relax. If God be for you, who can be against you? I'll tell you, that's what Christmas is all about. Everything good, everything positive, everything happy. That's why those kids don't have to, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. That's not true. You can cry and pout and do naughty things, and God still loves you. So Santa Claus is mean. I'm just telling you, I don't care how jolly that guy looks. He's mean because he's coming to town and checking a list twice. Jesus is not checking any lists. There's no list. I'm just telling you right now, Jesus Christ paid for everything that's negative to you, and there's nothing left but his blessing. Just have to trust him now. go through the fire. Don't be afraid. Don't be surprised. Sooner or later, you're going to face physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, psychological problems, physical, financial. You're going to face those. Relational, you will face them. So what? You couldn't make it through them anyway. Just turn them over to God. Turn them over to God. Say, God, you're the same God that met Mary and spoke to her. She didn't have a clue. And you've spoken to me. And I believe the best is yet to come. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you praise and glory and honor that this message, maybe it's not designed for everybody, but it's designed for some to encourage those that have been tossed and beaten about. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're encouraging us. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. I know you are. Don't be. Everything's going to work out for your good. I thank you, Lord God, for sending Jesus, not just to talk about it, but to do it. Not just to talk about helping us, but actually to die for us, go through all kinds of suffering, which you rejoiced in. You weren't trying to escape it and get out of it. You said, Father, if it's possible, let it pass, but if not, let me go through it. Not my will, but thine be done. And I thank you, Lord God, that the best is yet to come, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Merry Christmas.